This morning from the New Testament and the Old Testament. And the question this morning in the message is this: what is strong enough to hold back the wrath of God? What is strong enough to hold back the wrath of God? And I want to read from Ephesians in the New Testament, chapter 4, and we'll read verses 25 through 32. There we go. He's telling the Ephesian church how to live in a Christian life. And he says, "Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Now, folks, if we live by the teachings that the Apostle Paul gave the church at Ephesus, we're going to be a good bunch of people, aren't we? I challenge you to go home and read that section of Scripture. There's one verse in it that I want to pick up on today, and I want you to look at it, and that word was tender-hearted. Now, let's read from a story in the Old Testament, from 2 Kings 22. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jedidiah, the daughter of Adaliah of Bozkath. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in all the way of David his father, and turn not aside to the right hand or to the left. And it came to pass in the 18th year of King Josiah that the king sent Shaphan, the son of Azariah, the son of Mehulam, the scribe, to the house of the Lord, saying, "But to the king of Judah," we have skipped down to verse 18, "but to the king of Judah, which sent you to inquire of the Lord, thus shall ye say to him, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, as touching the words which thou hast heard, because thine heart was tender, and thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord, when thou hearest what I spake against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, that they should become a desolation and a curse, and have rent thy clothes and wept before me, I also have heard thee, saith the Lord. Behold, therefore, I will gather thee unto thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered unto thy grave in peace, and thine eyes shall not see all the evil that I will bring upon this place." And they brought the king word again. Praise be unto God for the reading and the hearing of his precious word. If you go back in the scriptures to the book of Deuteronomy and you listen to the instructions that God has given his people Israel, he's brought them out of Egypt. He's brought them for 40 years through the wilderness. And in the end, he has brought them and set them into the promised land. He set them in a place that was flowing with milk and honey. When they went in and spied out the land, the bunches of grapes were so big it took two men to carry one. Now that's some agriculture growing on there, isn't it? And what a wonderful blessing it gave them. But then God says, if you don't live up to what you're supposed to live, if you forget me and go another way, if you forget me and worship another God, if you forget me and live in a fashion that I don't like, I'm going to get you. Elvis Presley used to sing a song, "Don't you worry, God Almighty is going to get you," and he will. God will find you. Now, Deuteronomy described what awful, horrible things was going to happen to them if they turned against God. He describes how bad it's going to be if they backslide, if they worship other gods, if they live immoral and indecent lives, and all of that kind of thing. He describes, go back and read it in Deuteronomy. Now, that may not be your favorite book to read in Deuteronomy. But it's easier to read Psalms. But I have to tell you, folks, you need to read Deuteronomy. You need to read what God said. And God said, if you don't live up to the standards that I have given you, this is what's going to happen. Well, fast forward down the road to the days of King Josiah. Now, Josiah is a wonderful person. The Bible has great, wonderful things to say about Josiah. And Josiah became the king when he was 8 years old. Can you believe an 8-year-old king? He had to have counselors. But Josiah became a king when he was 8 years old. And during his life, he bore this testimony I just read to you. He did what was right in the sight of the Lord. He didn't turn to the right or to the left. He didn't turn back. He didn't get out of the way. Josiah lived right, did right before the Lord his God. Now, when we look at this today, we have to say, well, what's going on? I'll tell you what's going on. Somewhere in Josiah's mind, he's thinking about the house of God. And he decides to do what a lot of churches in America need to do today. He decides to clean house. He brings all of the people, the carpenters, the masons, and the people. And they clean the house of God from the top to the bottom. They scour the floors. They paint the walls. They do everything that needs to be done to make the house of the Lord look presentable, to make it look like it is a house of the Lord. It had been neglected for so long, for so many years, it had been neglected and nobody had done anything. And the trash had piled up in the corners. People were bringing their own personal things and just storing them for a storage building inside of the house of God. And the temple was not being used for the glory of God, but it was more or less just sitting there. And around the temple, the heathen kings that they had, the backslidden kings that had gone into heathenism, had put statues of other gods, had put things that were ungodly all over the temple mound and all over Israel. And God had been forgotten in the public life of Israel. And when they cleaned the house, when they scoured the floors, when they got the dust and the trash out, there was something they found. They found a book, now not bound like this one, but a scroll. They found a scroll somewhere in that temple that everybody had forgotten about. They found a scroll somewhere in that building that nobody knew was there, and nobody knew where it came from. But when they got it out and they unrolled it, and they began to read, and by the way, Hebrews read from right to left, not left to right like we do. And they rolled the scroll back and they began to read. And when they began to read, they said, "The king needs to see this. The king needs to hear about this." So they went into Josiah, who was by now 18 years old. Don't ever throw off on young people. You don't know how powerful they can be. You don't know how wonderful God can use them. And my friend, these people, these young people, Josiah and the people with him, when they heard the priest and the scribe stand up and unroll that scroll and read to them the word of God, Do you realize with a great golden temple sitting on a hill and all that they had, this people, Israel, yes, the same ones that came out of Egypt, same ones that came through the wilderness, the same ones that God had done so much through that David ruled over. My friend, those people had forgotten God. As a nation, they had put the word of God away and they had let the trash and the things of life cover it up. So they forgot. By the time Josiah came along, you have to understand Josiah, if he had to go to heaven on his ancestors, he'd have split hell wide open. Because somewhere back in his ancestry, there was Ahab and Jezebel. And somewhere back in his history were all those kings that had brought in all of those ungodly idols and things and put in the house of God and put in the temple of God. And he didn't have a chance. He had never heard the Bible read. Do you realize how blessed you are? How many of us own a Bible? Yeah, all of us. How easy is it to get a Bible? Well, it's easy enough that almost any church you would go in and stand up and say, I don't have a Bible, they'd give you one. I don't care if it's a Mormon church, a Catholic church, or the Holiness Church. If you stood up in church and said, I don't have a Bible and I'd like to have one, before you got out of town, they'd have a Bible in your hand. But if you want to buy one, you can go to Walmart and buy one for little or nothing any day that you have. How blessed we are to have the Word of God. Josiah and the generation of people he lived in had never heard the Word of God. They had never read the Word of God. Now you have to understand, they didn't have Bibles and books laying around everywhere like we do. They had to be hand copied. They were extremely valuable. They were on sheepskin or papyrus paper that they made, and that's all they had, was a handwritten copy of it. So when they pushed the scroll back, you say, did they mean to throw it away? I doubt it. It was saved. What did they do? I'll tell you what they did. They neglected the Word of God. They neglected what God had given them. And they didn't know what God said. Josiah and the people there with him did not know what God had said to them in Deuteronomy. But when the scribe and the priest unrolled that scroll and began to read it, Josiah saw what a fix they were in. He leaped when they finished reading from the scroll, and he had the people come in. And the people listened to the reading of the word. And when they heard the scriptures read for the first time, you say, oh, I'm sure they wept and cried. Yeah. Josiah jumped off the throne and grabbed his coat and tore it in half and stood before the people weeping and crying and seeking God. And he sent out all over the land for the word of God to be brought back. Oh, my friend, wouldn't you be so glad if that could happen in the White House? Wouldn't you be so happy if that could happen in the Capitol and in the Supreme Court chambers? Wouldn't you be happy if that could happen in the governor's house in Richmond? Wouldn't you be happy if that could happen even in the courthouse in Giles County? My brothers and sisters, we have neglected the Word of God. We have neglected the preaching of the Word from the pulpits. We have neglected the reading of the word in our homes. We have neglected teaching the word of God in our schools. Have you ever read a McGuffey's Reader? Have you ever seen a McGuffey's Reader? That's everybody from the time this became a country up to probably nearly the Civil War and afterwards, really, some places. The McGuffey Reader was the standard that reading book that kids learned to read out of in school. You ought to read it. You can get a copy of it. It's still in print. You can read the McGuffey Reader, and you know what? It's got whole pages of nothing but scripture out of the King James Version of the Bible. Whole pages of nothing but the Word of God and put out so that we could have it. But we've neglected that. We've told our kids that they come from monkeys. We've told our kids that they were accidents of cosmic gas that smashed together and suddenly after 20 billion years, here we are. Well, my friend, there's a penalty to be paid for that. There's a consequence for that action. And God, in Deuteronomy, had told the people in the law, see, this is the book of the law that they found, and that's Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. First five books of the Bible. That's what they found. And they opened them up and they read it. And when they read it, the king was smitten. That 18-year-old boy was on his knees. He was ripping and tearing his clothes and saying, "What can we do? What can we do?" Why was he so upset when he heard the Bible read? I'll tell you why. Because the Bible said, if you don't obey this and your country fails to acknowledge God and you turn away from me, this is what I'm going to do to you. And my friend, God's judgment was spelled out in the book of Deuteronomy in no uncertain terms. There was no chance. He saw clearly. You have to give Josiah credit for one thing right up front. He believed the word. He didn't doubt the word of God. People have been busy believing their doubts and doubting their beliefs too long. Josiah did not doubt the word of God. When he heard that scripture read, and when he heard the word that God had said to him, that I'm going to send judgment, I'm going to be full of wrath, and I'm going to come down from heaven and I'm going to slay you people, I'm going to send diseases on you, I'm going to send foreign governments with armies to take you captive, and I'm coming down on you. And my brothers and sisters, when Josiah heard that, he was smitten in his heart. He fell on his face. He tore his clothes. And he said, let's inquire of the Lord. Let's inquire of the Lord to see what we can do. We see that we have sinned. We see that we have neglected the word of God. We see that we have failed to do what God wants us to do. How can we get out of this? What's going to happen to us? How quick is God going to destroy us and send the fire down from heaven? Maybe we're going to be like the sons of Achan, who the ground opened up under them and they dropped into it. Or maybe like the Sodom and Gomorrah when the fire fell from heaven. He don't know what's going to happen. He's the king. He's 18 years old. He doesn't know what's going to happen, but he believes it's going to happen because God said so. And when God said so in Deuteronomy, he repented for his people right then. He said, but let's inquire of the Lord. Let's see what the Lord... Not only is he reading the word, he's praying about the word. He's praying about, God, what do you want us to do? God, how do you want us to handle this? And any of you don't believe in women preachers? Any of you don't believe in women having a strong part in the church? You better listen to this scripture. Because when he sent for the word of the Lord, where did they go? The priest and the scribe and the representatives from the throne went to the house of God, and there was a woman. Say it, woman. There was a woman there, and her name was Huldah. And Huldah was a prophetess, and Huldah had the word of the Lord. And the king of Israel sent his word to Huldah and asked her, tell us, Huldah, what do we do? What does God want us to do? And Huldah did not wait a week. She did not wait a year. She did not wait to see how it was going to turn out. She immediately says to him, thus saith the Lord. Oh, God, give us men and women who can stand up in this country and say, thus saith the Lord. Amen. Give us men and women who will stand up in this country and read from the book and believe it and declare it before the nation and the nations. Give us men and women who will stand up and show us the way of the Lord. Huldah said, thus saith the Lord, you go tell the one that sent you to find out. Of course, she knows it's the king Josiah. And they go back to Josiah and they tell him what Huldah has said. And you know what Huldah said? She said, yes, there is judgment there. Yes, there is destruction on the way. Yes, the word says that that's going to happen. No way out of it. If God said it's going to happen, it's going to happen. If God don't make mistakes, does he? Not the God I know. So he has told them that judgment is coming. And Josiah sees it. But when Huldah talks with him, she sees it from God's angle and looks down and sees it. And you know what she said? Because you were tender-hearted. Whoa. Do you know what it is to be tender? See this table here? No give at all. See this Bible here? That's tender. That's hard. Some people have hard hearts. Some people have tender hearts. She said, because. This is something that came down to us from our Puritan ancestors when they came to America. Heartfelt religion. Did you ever hear that terminology? Heartfelt religion. Our Puritan fathers declared heartfelt religion. This is what Huldah says. Because you tore your clothes, and because you repented of the sins, and because your heart was tender when you heard the word of the Lord. Tell me, what is your reaction when you hear the preaching and the proclaiming of the word of God? I can tell you that in the day and time we live in, people look at me when I declare a standard of holiness and righteous living, and you know what they say? We ain't gonna do that. We ain't gonna live that way. How many times I've heard that? We don't have to do that. Well, my friend, you know why people have those reactions? You know why people hear somebody like me in here preaching today and go right outside and do bad things? You know why? Because their heart's not tender. Their heart's not tender. We need to be tenderized. We need tenderness to come in our heart so that when the Word of God comes down, the Word of God will bring. And folks, you're not going to have a revival. You're not going to have an outpouring of the Spirit of God until our hearts become tender and we can hear what God has to say to us. Amen. And God has something to say. And she says, because your heart was tender and you did all of these things, you know what? That answers my question. What was the question? What is strong enough to hold back the wrath of God? My inclination without thinking would say nothing. If God's wrath's coming down, it's it. It's going to hit us and that's going to be it. But Huldah sends to Josiah and gives him the formula to hold back the wrath of God. Don't throw off on the young people. Here's an 18-year-old king that's standing between judgment and his people and the being held off by the judgment of God with what? A tender heart. That's all it took, folks. That's all it took. And you say, oh, I don't know, said, there's just no hope, there's no help. Josiah thought it wasn't. When he sent to the Lord, to the temple to inquire of the Lord, he thought there wasn't any hope. He heard Deuteronomy, and it's very uncompromising in Deuteronomy. It says very plainly what's going to happen. But God said, because you have done this, because you have done this. And he uses young people and a woman preacher. Hallelujah. And he says, because you have done this, and because you have repented, and because your heart is tender. Remember, I read from Ephesians, and you remember what Paul says to the Christian people in Ephesus? He says, be kind one to another. And what? Tender-hearted. We cannot be hard against our brothers and sisters, and we cannot be hard against the word of our God. So my brothers and sisters, I'm telling you today, the wrath of God, you see, I don't know what's going to happen to this country. I don't know what's going to happen in the White House. I don't know what's going to happen. And sometimes when you look at it, you don't see that there's any hope, any way, any form or fashion that could save it. But my friend, I can tell you, men and women, boys and girls with tender hearts who bow before God and tear their clothes and rend their hearts, men and women who bow before God and ask God to forgive our sins, our national sins and our personal sins, and turn from our wicked ways to Him, my friend, the tender heart of a believer can hold back the wrath of Almighty God. And you say, well, we're no match for it. We're not. But I can tell you, my friend, God doesn't like to send judgment. That's not God's forte. Oh, I know some preachers and some religious people so bent on preaching hellfire and damnation, my friend, that they don't give you any way to wiggle. They don't give you any place to go. They don't give you any hope. But my friend, I can tell you, if we would repent in this country, and if we would turn from our ways, and we would let our hearts be tender and have a tender heart to receive the word of the Lord. That house cleaning, you remember he had? Oh, my friend, if they'd have never cleaned the rubbish out of the house, if they'd have never cleaned the temple up, they'd have never found the word. My friend, we need to clean house in America. We need to clean house in some churches and denominations. We need to clean house and get the rubbish and the trash out of the house and scour the walls and light the lamps and open the door for God's business. We need to do that so that we can come to the place, my friend, that we can come before the Almighty God, begging His mercy and repenting of our sins and coming to Him. And like Josiah, the young 18-year-old king, my friend, God will hear from heaven. Hey, He said He would, didn't He? If my people, you know that scripture, that are called by my name, will do what? Humble themselves, repent of their sins, turn to God, all of those things, what will happen? Then I will hear from heaven, and I will come and heal their land. We need a healing service in America. We need to heal the anger. Did you ever see so much anger? So much people so bitter? People just shooting and killing people they don't know. It's not like we're having a, you know, standoff at the OK Corral or something. The whole thing of it is, my friend, that people are just shooting people to be shooting them, killing people to be killing them, doing evil things just to be doing them. And God, my friend, you remember that song we used to sing? My Lord keeps a record of the moments I'm living down here. He knows all about me. Oh, my friend, listen. There are books in heaven. And one day those books are going to be opened. But my friend, before then, before that even happens, the terrible thing is that the judgment of God has been pronounced. Every nation that forgets God shall be what? Turned into hell. That's what it says. My friend, I don't like that. I don't like the sound of it. I don't like anything about it. I don't like weeping. I don't like wailing. I don't like gnashing of teeth. And I sure don't like hellfire. And my friend, I don't want that to fall on our country. But I'm telling you, as I look at our country today, we're in the edge. Oh, if we could have a Josiah. If we could have a Josiah raise up somewhere, if somewhere along the way we could have a Josiah raise up and declare the word of the Lord and present the word of the Lord to the people, how wonderful it would be in such a way that our hearts, God make our hearts tender. I would have thought in all of the troubles of the pandemic and all the other diseases that are coming, and I'm telling you, this is just the tip of the iceberg. There's more on the way. And I don't know what diseases you're going to have to face and I'm going to have to face. I don't know what genetically engineered diseases you're going to have to face that there's no cure for. My friend, you have to depend on God. You say, preacher, you just scare the bejabbers out of us. I'd like to do that to the whole country. I'd like to see people leaping up like Josiah and ripping their clothes and sending to the word of God and say, just tell us what to do. My friend, in Josiah's lifetime, the judgment of God never did fall. Now, it did fall later when Josiah died. They backslid again. And when they backslid, God opened the door and let the wrath come out. But my friend, in Josiah's time, the wrath of God was placated. The righteousness of God came. And I'm telling you this morning, my friend, I know we're just a little group of people on the side of the New River in Giles County, Virginia. But my friend, we have to do our part of calling on God. But let us pray. Let us pray for our president, whoever our president's going to be. Let us pray that God will, somewhere along the way, find someone with a tender heart. Oh, my friend, Josiah, you would have thought a young king like him would have followed the ways of his fathers and his grandfathers and his great-grandfathers. You'd have thought that they'd have went that way because he could live any way he wanted to. And no one would say anything because he's the king. But this 18-year-old king did right in the sight of God and did not turn to the right and did not turn to the left, but went straight ahead. Let us pray. Father God, in the precious and wonderful name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we come to you today. Father, we come to you grateful that you do not send judgment without warning. Come to you, Father, grateful that in all of the judgments that are proclaimed against, Father, those who sin and those who turn away from God, may your spirit and your blessing and your power and your grace, God, be with us. Lord, not just this congregation, but wherever this word is spoken. And then, Father, we pray that all over the land, Lord, touch our president, touch our congressman, touch people, God, some way, somehow. God, if there's a young Josiah out there somewhere, Lord, speak to his heart. Speak to him and let the word of God come. And God, help us to clean house. And to clean house at every church house and in the White House and in the Congress and everywhere else. Help us to clean out the rubbish and the trash. Help us to find the word of God that we've neglected and has lay hidden. And let us take it to a tender heart that it can come into us and make us the people you'd have us to be. Father, for we ask it in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. And the congregation said, Amen.